You're listening to Ethnomusicology Today, a podcast produced by the Society for Ethnomusicology devoted to the exploration of contemporary issues in global music studies. I'm Trevor Harvey. The 2023 annual meeting of the Society for Ethnomusicology will take place from October 19th to the 22nd in Ottawa, Canada, with a pre-conference symposium on October 18th focusing on archives, access, and ethnomusicology. In this episode, we talk with local arrangement co-chairs and pre-conference organizers about the planning and highlights of this year's conference. Today, we'll be talking with Judith Klassen, Curator of Cultural Expression at the Canadian Museum of History.
It's lovely to be here.
We also have Anna Hufnagels, ethnomusicologist and professor at Carleton University.
Hello.
And Charlotte Stewart Juby, graduate student in the MA program in Music and Culture at Carleton.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Judith, Anna, and Charlotte are all part of the Local Arrangements Committee for the 2023 Ethnomusicology Conference being held in Ottawa, Canada, which is hosted by the Canadian Museum of History, Carleton University, and Queen's University. Welcome to each of you to Ethnomusicology Today. We'd like to start with just a conversation about the relationship and history between the Society for Ethnomusicology and Canada, particularly thinking about this conference being held in Ottawa this year. The last time SEM was hosted in Canada was in 2000 in Toronto. Can you tell us a little bit about the background and history just leading up to hosting SEM in Ottawa? Anna, would you like to start with that?
Well, sure. And thank you, Trevor, for having us and creating this space for us to share about the conference, because we're so excited and we've been so hard at work getting ready to welcome people to Ottawa. And it's so exciting to be able to do this work and to work so closely with such an amazing team that we have. So I remember my first conference at SEM was in 1996 in Toronto. So there is a bit of a history of SEM in Canada. It was in Toronto in 96, in 2000, and it hasn't been back here since. So there is a history of SEM coming to Canada. And I know whenever SEM has been here, it has been a real pleasure for Canadians to, you know, to be on the radar to our American colleagues to the south, because there's a significant number of Canadians who are members of SEM, and we are always so proud of our country and welcoming scholars to Canada. So in terms of why in 2020, I remember having conversations with Judith, with former President Beverly Diamond, former SEM President Gage Averill. We were sitting at a conference of the Canadian Society for Traditional Music in Regina. And we're like, we have to bring SEM to Canada, bring SEM to Canada. And Gage and Bev were like, yes, this is a great idea. So it's just taken us a bit of time to kind of pull these things together for it to happen, because we do have a number of Canadians who've been deeply committed to SEM and have been members, very active members of SEM. And there's a lot of people who've been quite involved and supportive of SEM as an organization. So it's great for all of these people to see SEM coming back to Canada this year. I think that's really exciting for them, whether they're still involved or not. And I don't know, Judith, if you want to add anything. I think I've spoken for too long.
No, not at all. I think you've included so much rich context. And I think that it's been really interesting sort of doing the replan, because on one hand, planning an event that's this large takes an incredible number of people, and you learn a lot in terms of what the process is. So part of us, I shouldn't speak for you, Anna, but so feel free to disagree, but I think felt like, okay, we've been through a lot of this before, the grant writing, the, you know, working out with our institutions, how do we get support, who do we need to talk to, and, you know, finding artists to be involved in various ways. We've been through that. So it felt like we've got a little bit of a superpower, because it was only 3 years ago. But we also realized that we didn't want to just do exactly the same thing over again. And when you're wanting to engage local communities, you don't want to just be going back to the same people all the time. In our workplaces, sometimes the people we knew were our go-to last time may have shifted. So there was also still a lot of relearning in this process. And so it's been, eye-opening and positive and all the things, I think.
We're really grateful for the support from our host institutions, because this is a big, taking on this kind of an organization, this kind of a gathering in Canada, it's not that common to happen at this extent, because we're much smaller than the United States. We don't have the funding resources. So we could not have done this without the support, financial and otherwise, of our hosting institutions. And we're also really grateful to the SEM as well, especially the Portia Maltzby Fund. We received generous contributions from the Portia Maltzby Fund and the Indigenous Music Section for some of the programming that we've done to kind of bring people to the table at this conference who otherwise might not be able to be here. So I think despite, you know, we're doing a ton of work, but I think we're also feeling tremendously supported and validated in the decisions that we've made, because we're being so well supported by both SEM and our host institutions have been really spectacular in offering, you know, various kinds of support. So I just want to put that, I want to make sure that's noted, because it's a lot of work, but it's great being supported and knowing that what we do is valued.
So speaking of host institutions of higher education, colleges, universities, tend to be the primary hosting institutions for SEM, sometimes collaborating with other organizations. But in this case, SEM is being co-hosted by the Canadian Museum of History, where Judith, you work as a curator of cultural expression. Can you talk a little bit from your position in museum setting and not in a university setting, what it means to co-host and to support SEM and have the support of SEM for the work that you do?
Well, first of all, at the museum where I work as a curator, it is within the research division. So there are many researchers who are working in a number of different fields. I would be the only one who is an ethnomusicologist with a connection to SEM. Though actually, you know, every once in a while we'll have people on contract who do have an ethnomusicology background. But just to say that the idea of, you know, research within the museum setting isn't an outlier. So our involvement in an event like this makes sense. But in terms of what's been possible because of this collaboration, it sort of reinforces some of the ideas that are behind the pre-conference symposium, which is that very often, whether it's public-facing work in a public institution like a museum or another public-facing setting, there can tend to be a sense of separation between academia, community, public institution. And in some cases, those things are real because people are so immersed in their own environment that we can forget that there are other conversations happening. But what we've been wanting to do through our collaboration and also through the pre-conference symposium theme is to, you know, create spaces where we can have conversations that cross imagined or otherwise boundaries. And I think that that's one of the things that personally, within the context of my work and my work at the museum, I feel really positive about, is that it's in the how we're doing it that there's a lot of collaboration, and also in the what we're trying to do.
So I want to come back to the conversation earlier, Anna. You were talking about, you know, all the work that you've done in terms of performances, other things specific to hosting this SEM conference in Ottawa this year. So could you maybe talk to us a little bit about what is hosting SEM in Ottawa in terms of engaging with the local community beyond the public institutions, the academic institutions that you work within and represent and are hosting this event? But in what ways do you see this opportunity of SEM in Ottawa connecting with the broader public and in particular place that Ottawa is, and the histories and possibilities of what sort of questions that might open up for dialogue around ethnomusicological engagement and concerns that ethnomusicologists have, generally speaking?
I think for me, the reason why it's important to have this conference in Ottawa, I mean, there's so many reasons. And then a lot of it for me has to do with the fact that I think a lot of issues in Canada and the United States, they're similar, but they're different. And I think Ottawa is recognized as, you know, obviously it's the national capital of Canada. Like there's like 1,000 people, a million people who live in the greater Ottawa area. So it's the nation's capital. This is the political epicenter of Canada. This is where protests and demonstrations and laws get enacted. So it's a site of political importance, but historically it's also an important site as a meeting place of cultures and peoples. Thinking back to the pre-conference symposium from 2020, because Ottawa is a historic meeting ground of Indigenous peoples. This was an important, you know, sacred and spiritual place for Indigenous peoples. This is where three significant waterways meet the Ottawa River, the Gatineau River, the Rideau River. And so this place is on unceded Algonquin territories. And I don't think we can host a conference in this site without acknowledging the importance of the land and the waterways to local Indigenous peoples. And so we developed a program, you know, or programming for the rest of the conference. We've got like a roundtable discussions that are talking about diversity and talking about what it means when immigrants move to Canada, the challenges that they overcome, the experiences they have as musicians trying to start anew. We developed a roundtable that is showcasing Indigenous musicians. We got Algonquin, we've got Haudenosaunee because they're Indigenous neighbors to this land, who also have a longstanding history here. We've got Métis jigger. We've got Inuit throat singers. So we've got this really robust roundtable of people who are coming to share their experiences as Indigenous people on this land.
So in addition to the academic or like the panel presentations during the conference, there are a number of other ways that we've been thinking about how to animate the weekend. And one of the collaborative projects that we really want to highlight, both because it's a great project and also because we want people to come, is a Friday night live music showcase that's going to be happening at the museum. And it's the launch of the Sound Community series with Smithsonian Folkways Recordings. It's a new series, and it's a collaboration between Smithsonian Folkways and the Center for Sound Communities at Cape Breton University. And so it's live music event with artists like Sons of Member Two and Morgan Tony, so Mi'kmaq drummers and fiddler, Julian Katasti, who's an incredible bandura player, Chester Delaney and Elise Delaney, who are Acadian fiddle and song artists, and Efua Cooper will be doing spoken word poetry. So there's just an incredible array of performers, and it will be a live music event so that we're trying to create a space that's social, that gives space for people to experience live music and in the context of the grand hall at the museum.
So the LAC has organized 5 concerts that are taking place Thursday through Saturday. And on Thursday, we have a Carleton student with local collaborators sharing fiddle music of Quebec and Ontario, and then 2 Inuit musicians performing Inuit throat singing. And on Friday, we have Carleton's own West African Rhythm Ensemble, which studies West African singing, dancing, and drumming under the direction of Professor Kathy Armstrong. And they'll be joined by 3 Ghanaian musicians, one being a Carleton graduate. And then the last concert on Friday will be 2 Syrian musicians who are joining us from Toronto for the conference. And they'll be performing Syrian vocal music accompanied by the bouzouk.
Wonderful. So in talking about the many activities and engagements and performances and participatory events that you've planned for the conference as a whole, I was wondering if we could sort of pivot a little bit here and talk about the pre-conference symposium, which you've also planned. The pre-conference symposium this year is titled Archives, Access, and Ethnomusicology, which is held on Wednesday, the 18th of October. Could you talk a little bit about, and I don't know who wants to jump in here, but talk a little bit about just the impetus for this topic of archives and access and ethnomusicology as a pre-conference symposium this year?
So we're a fairly big committee taking on different parts of the local arrangements. And one of the things in connection specifically with the pre-conference symposium was this recognition that archives are something that are closely associated usually with museums or independent archival bodies. And yet, if we think about ethnomusicology and the work that we do within this discipline, whether we recognize it or not, our work is connected to archives in the short term and the long term, because of course an archive isn't just one thing. It can be understood as, you know, the documentary record of a moment in time, whether that's paper or sonic or whatever format that happens to be. But it also is often understood as the geographic place where these things are held. And when something as basic as archive is taken for granted to mean one thing, it can lead to misunderstandings and miscommunication. So we were thinking, just kind of throwing around ideas and thinking about, okay, well, archives can mean many things. Ethnomusicology is, as a discipline that's so closely tied to fieldwork within the methodological approach, whether recognized or not, we're often creating archives in the course of our work. And at some point, whether that stays in our own home or it is deposited somewhere else, there are all kinds of layers of significance that that holds. And so we wanted to create a conversation that would give space to sort of think about, okay, well, how do we understand archives? What is a music or a sound archive in 2023? Similarly, the idea of access is the term that it seems so simple, you know, is it accessible? Well, actually, that can also mean a million different things. And depending what your points of reference are, it can really impact on how you understand what is and is not accessible. How we understand access has shifted like enormously. And yet the steps involved in taking what has historically been a physical space with material things that are the points of reference, that shift, it would take decades to, let's say, in a physical archive like the one we have, to digitize everything. And that's also ignoring the moral rights, the ethical rights, all the intellectual property layers that are connected to that. So there are all kinds of things that at first glance can seem very simple. Oh, archives and access. When we actually think about what they mean and how they mean, depending on what perspective we're looking from, those things can vary widely. And so what we wanted to do is create a space where we actually have a real conversation with people who are coming to the conversation from different places, whether that's a museum and a university, a community context, and just create a space where we can have some real conversations.
Think in Canada, again, thinking specifically around issues that are at the forefront of our thinking here. Not that other people aren't thinking about these same issues, but I think that the idea of repatriation and rematriation often come up when we think about archives. And in Canada, I think for a lot of people, the default is to think, there's all these artifacts in these museums. There's all these recordings that have been collected over the years. And I mean, the history of ethnomusicology is built on collecting. It's built on the study of the other and documenting. And a lot of those materials in Canada are housed at the Canadian Museum of History.
So Charlotte, as you've been working as a member of the Local Arrangements Committee, could you speak a little bit to the perspective of a younger scholar in the field? What sort of shaping of the conference, whether it's the pre-conference symposium or the conference as a whole, that you feel like reflects particular interests or needs or opportunities for engagement for younger scholars? What are some of the things that you're excited about?
So just in general, I think I feel incredibly fortunate that the annual meeting is happening while I'm at school this year. And I've been trying to encourage my peers as much as possible to take advantage of this opportunity. Because as Anna was mentioning earlier, a conference of this size, this readily available to Canadians or people, us in Ottawa, is not something that will happen that frequently. So it's just such a great resource for learning and networking. And so I'm just very excited about the conference as a whole. Personally, for me, I am excited about the ideas of the pre-conference surrounding archives and access. So I've been thinking already a lot about what it means to engage in archival work or unarchived history, both ethically and collaboratively. So I just feel very fortunate that this pre-conference is now an opportunity for me to reflect on these ideas as I carry out my project. And starting to address how we can open up the conversation of what archived history is and what we've historically valued in terms of histories and how we can discuss and access knowledge production as we go about our studies in the future.
Thank you. Talking about access, how can those who are unable to attend the symposium, how might they benefit from or access information, knowledge, conversations that take place there? Do you have certain ways or plans of sort of carrying on those conversations that might engage others that couldn't be there in person?
In terms of accessing the conference, the daytime sessions at the museum are full, and we have to respect those capacity limits because it's a federally mandated institution and there's fire hazards and we can't overpopulate that space. But the evening sessions are comprise lecture recitals. So we have two different groups who, as part of their proposal, said they wanted to have musicians here. And we're calling it Reanimating the Archive. So these are two separate lecture recitals. One of them is a number of musicians are coming from Australia, and they have been working with Sally Treylon for years. and they're bringing archival materials back to the community and then reanimating them. And the other one is a group of folks from, this is largely led by Anne Rasmussen and her team, and they've been doing archival work, the reinterpretation of Arab music originally performed 100 years ago, and it's been sitting in an archive. So bringing these materials back to an ensemble, and they're kind of performing this music that had been kind of stored in an archive. So those are open to everybody. People can come to those. They should register for that because, again, there's not limited space, but we just want to track numbers. So I anticipate conversations from the day will bleed into the evening there. And it is a space, because it's a lecture recital, if people want to hear live music performed, what a great way to end an intensive day of discussions. And we're so excited to have people in Ottawa, and the location of the hotel, like, this was the only hotel in Ottawa that was big enough to hold this conference, but it is at a crossroad itself, at a crossroads, because down the street is part of the Parliament buildings, down at the other street is the Byward Market, which is where there's all kinds of restaurants and shops and fun things, and, you know, farmers market. You don't even have to leave the hotel to go to a shopping mall. Like, and like across the road is the Rideau Canal with like a beautiful paved pathway. So Ottawa is an amazing place to be, and it's a beautiful place to visit. And we've been having fantastic weather. So I think when people come, like, knock on wood, we want it to be, the weather will be great. The weather will be Canadian, but the conference is great. We've worked really hard to make the program meaningful, but by the luck of whatever it is, Ottawa is a beautiful place anyway. So I think for people coming here, it's going to be really important to get out of the conference venue, breathe some fresh Ontario, Quebec air, look at the water, and just, you know, take a minute to reflect on, like, here we're in the nation's capital, but there's so much going on here. It's an amazing place.
Thank you again for taking the time to talk with us about your hopes, your planning, and the things that we can expect to experience at the 68th Annual Meeting of the Society for Ethnomusicology in Ottawa, Canada, from October 18th through October 22nd in 2023. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been lovely to speak with you.
Yeah.
Thank you again to Judith Klassen, Curator of Cultural Expression at the Canadian Museum of History, Anna Hufnagels, Professor of Ethnomusicology at Carleton University, and Charlotte Stewart Juby, Graduate Student in Music and Culture Studies at Carleton, for discussing the upcoming 2023 SEM Conference. For more information on the conference and the array of scholars, performers, and educators who will be participating in the conference, please visit ethnomusicology.org. Ethnomusicology Today is produced with the help and support of many people. Thanks to our student research and production assistant, Sarah Lyons, and the support and encouragement of the SEM Podcast Advisory Board and SEM Executive Director, Stephen Stempfli. This podcast is produced by the Society for Ethnomusicology with support from the University of Iowa College of Liberal Arts and Sciences and the Iowa Office for Undergraduate Research.